Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's a look at Pete Shaw. How are you doing? It's Monday, 8th of March. I'm Pete Donaldson, and I'm joined by Mr. Lukey Moore. Lukey Moore, how the devil are you? Are you as hot as I am?
I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm annoyed that I'm always joining you. You're never joining me.
Right. Okay. Yeah, but I start the show. So if you want to start the show, I'll join you if you're on. Yeah. Well, it's a hierarchy of you cajole me into saying something stupid at the start of the show, which sets the tone, I think, for the rest of the half an hour.
Yeah, I think you're right. How would you describe this to newcomers?
Oh, God. lot of willy
Nazi
chat.
Documentaries. Misremembered facts.
Yeah. We have a real go at comedians.
Big time.
Reason.
Like, and rightly so. I mean, they get a lot of praise and a lot of credit. I think you're a stand-up comic.
Don't get a lot of money, a lot of them.
Well, and rightly so. I think if you know, they're not paid per joke, Peter.
No. Maybe they should be.
If I just think that to people who don't work at least adjacent to the entertainment industry like we do, or even some would say even in it, although that would make you feel uncomfortable. Mm. If you went to, Reigate in Surrey on a Friday night and went into the local pub or a Wetherspoons or whatever and started having a good old chat with people over a beer, and they said, what do you do? And you said you're a stand-up comic. Even if you were a rubbish one, you get a lot of credit for that.
Would you?
People would think it was interesting, wouldn't they?
Because like anyone can say that, but you don't. It isn't really clear whereabouts you are on the ladder because there's so many of them.
I just think people's idea of it is so far removed outside of this industry you're occupying that I think they get a lot of undeserved credit. The good ones are great and good on them, but I'm just saying it's like, if I said to you I work in an air conditioning factory, no one cares.
But
in many ways, you could be a better air conditioner than you could be a comedian.
I remember, well, it's all hot air, isn't it? I would say that...
Cold air.
I met a woman who worked in both kinds of air. Surely with the aircon, you're moving hot air away, aren't you?
True, it's all part of it.
I don't know.
It's all part
anyway, of it. I would say that you would find yourself in that pub, talk to that person. And I once met someone who worked on... You know those magazines that used to have come out monthly? Or maybe bi-weekly, where you'd get another bit of a dinosaur.
Yeah. And it costs you about $3,000 to build it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's loads of different kind of branded ones, and they're a bit of a money spinner even now. And I always remember being as impressed as I would have been even if I'd met a member of a band. Do you know what I mean? Like, some people have interesting jobs without anybody really having... It's all in the eye of the beholder or the person who's talking to them, I guess.
Definitely. And I think I sometimes bump into people who live locally to me and I'll chat to them in a kind of, on the street or, in the pub or whatever, in a social situation, and they tell me their job. Mm. And if it's a job that's right in my kind of sweet spot of interest, I mean, it's the worst thing they could have done because you know what I'm like. I will terrorise them.
What's the first thing that someone asks you? Because certainly... When I used to be a radio DJ, the first question that always gets asked is, can you choose your own music? Which is very much no, in almost every situation. But what's the question that people ask you the first time that they... Do they even ask a question or do they go, I don't really know what a podcast is? Which is still very much the response.
It's moved beyond that now. So I would say...
Not in Essex.
Yeah, I would say I work for a podcast company and they would then say, doing what? And I would, I'd say, do a bit of broadcasting, a bit of production, that kind of thing. And I think they understand it now. But I think people never used to understand that. And before that, of course, when podcasting was still quite nascent, I would say I was a writer and a broadcaster as well, which I was. And I think now I feel like I get a little bit paranoid that if I meet someone in the pub who's a friend of a friend and they ask me what I do and I say podcasting, I think they think of that as a by term for he hasn't really got a proper job.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because so many podcasters are hobbyists, right?
And also, I when I talk about my job, I do start with I help. I have been known to sort of say help out at a podcast company, which A, is inaccurate because if anything, I hinder. And B, it makes it sound like it's like a community station or something.
Yeah, you're self-deprecating to the point of nihilism.
To the point of like looking unemployable, looking more unemployable than any person could possibly be.
You somehow managed to refer to a company that you co-own as someone who hangs around outside with an autograph book at the stage door, hoping to be given an unpaid shift from time to time.
Yeah, I just want... And if you'd like that unpaid shift, hello at lukepedia.com.
I also find it quite weird when I think about it, that this one, the first thing that people ask is, oh, what job do you have? Because I think that really is quite low on the priorities of the human condition, right? No one ever starts a conversation by saying, oh, you know, what's your favourite fucking... you know, sport or whatever. It would seem incongruous to do that, even though it's probably more interesting.
I do talk to a lot of older people these days in my life, and that can sometimes be quite difficult because you don't know whether they still work. You don't know whether they did have a job when they were of age. So it's kind of a bit confusing sometimes, I think.
The worst one for me ever, and I cringe about this now, at the time I was just really enthusiastic. I was at a birthday party, a 30th birthday party for a friend of mine, and obviously he had a lot of friends that I didn't know, and you'd get chatting to people and stuff. And this one guy was a criminal defence lawyer for a load of high-profile cases.
Yeah, okay.
And the only reason I knew that is because someone else said to me, oh, you know who that is? That's this guy. And obviously I was like a fucking fly on the shit. I just couldn't stop asking him questions. And I remember looking back
like
at it now.
Questions?
I'm just really interested. Like, tell me about the cases, tell me what the procedure is, you know, who, you know, what happened with this one, what happened with that one. And like at the time, obviously, because I had a few beers as well, I think that he was probably thinking, fucking, this is the worst night of my life. Because I've just done an 80-hour week.
I guess they would, again, that's one of the jobs where people would be asked the same question over and over again, no?
Yeah, and there's a guy down my street who is the, I think he's like the lead consultant in the neonatal unit at St. Thomas's Hospital.
Right, okay.
Like, so he's a proper, you know, bigger boy.
What's the best baby?
Yeah, so I say to him, I basically knock his door on his house.
Why do you insist on prolonging the lives of neo-Nazis? Sorry, I misheard what he said.
And when he answers the door, I say, what tubes have you put in babies today? And
have you ever grabbed a child by the umbilical cord and swung it around your head? Come on. Come on, we've all had 5 minutes off in a day, in a working day.
I woke him up at 3 a.m. the other day, got him downstairs in his dressing gown and said, my baby just blinked funny. My baby just did a funny blink.
My baby just did a two-fingered salute like Winston Churchill.
Have you ever seen a baby, to think about this, do a burp and a pump at the same time?
It's impossible. Luke, I've told you 5 times, it's impossible.
I told you before that I sold him a bed, and that's how I got to know him. And it was when my wife was pregnant, and he did make the cardinal error, as I said. You should never say this to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Anytime when I chat, you need anything, just give me a shout. Well, I will then. What's your number?
Luke,
where do you live?
Mua.
That's a pleasantry that you'll never think about again.
What you've done there is you have... you're selling him a bed. Did you give him a particularly good price?
I think I did, actually, yeah.
Right.
I needed rid of it.
Needed rid of it.
And he came, to be fair to him, I said to him, you can have it for this price, and the caveat is this, it was built in the room and you're going to have to unbuild it to get it out.
Is that what he did then? So he sat in your house.
Came around with a lot of tools.
I said, have you ever done that to a baby? Have you ever disassembled a baby and then put it back
just
together like an IKEA?
A very competent man.
Yeah, good with his
hands. Although, yesterday morning, got back from holiday and realised that somehow or other, while we're away, the blind...
He'd been back in and he put the bed back up. It's like,
he just put a lot of babies in my house. the blind in the nursery where my son sleeps had fallen down and broken into six pieces.
Could it have fallen on Baba?
Is that the worry? No, it wouldn't have been. No, okay, no. Right. It wouldn't have been able to. No.
Was this a Luke Moore DIY job?
I did it. I fixed it.
oh, you fixed it, but you didn't put it up in the first place.
I didn't put it up in the first place, no.
Okay, good. Okay, so you are fixing, you're making the world better. That's nice. That's cool.
And before, because my son woke up quite early, before 7 a.m. yesterday morning, I had done a load of washing, changed, fed, and sorted out my son and fixed a blind, and it was all done. And the Wi-Fi I have access to could not have been more patronising, even though she did say to me, I don't mean this to sound patronising, but well done for doing that, because normally you're absolutely dreadful at it. You get really frustrated, you start swearing, and it's a terrible example to our kid, and we have to get someone in to do it. So well done for doing it.
While he's sleeping. What did you need to do? Was there screws that needed to attach? Roll plugs?
No, the glue? The frame stayed up, but the blind came down, the spring-loaded mechanism broke, the chain came off.
Yeah.
Both the hinges on the blind itself fell out, and the bottom bit that weighs it down had slid out.
That sounds like a shiter. That sounds
you don't really want to be doing at that time in the morning.
No, not with a Ben running around the house, I guess. Yeah.
I normally have to book out an afternoon and clear the decks.
It must be quite hard to leave. It must be quite hard. It must be good so you can use your language, your outdoor language indoors.
Just so I don't want people to. The thing about DIY for me is the biggest barrier to it is I just simply don't want people to see me doing it. Because I know I'm doing it wrong. I know I'm getting frustrated. I know I'm making it look like the work of 10 men and it's taken 10 times as long. Yeah. I don't need to hear about your painting technique. I don't need to know that I'm using the wrong brush.
Yeah.
I don't need to know that I should have done this first. Just let me do it.
I like to... I like the buying of stuff. I less enjoy the actual DIY side of things. Like I could spend a year in B&Q, the big one in Southend, because it is... a stunner. It's one of the best B&Qs.
Is B&Q rated as those shops go?
I don't know. It's just big. It's just got a bit of everything, really. You've got fake turf. You've got artificial turf. You've got glues. You've got the plumbing section. You've got flooring. It's just a bit of everything. And you could be there in there for hours. And also, a huge power tool compliment as well.
That's always pleasing. What part of it pleases you the most?
The power tool bits, to be honest.
Do you have to have a license to buy any of them?
Well, I mean, we're doing a studio redo fairly soon, and Charlie made the quite important point that we will, before we make the new studio, we will have to chop down the old one. So I will be having a look at see if I can buy a little one of those circular saws, see if I can chop up the timber.
All right, Rory, can you book me in some holiday? Because I don't want to be anywhere near that. That's an injury,
Because he won't be able to do the show for a few weeks. So, yeah, you're booking a different host. So,
we've got producer Taylor now. She's new on the scene, so she needs to get up to speed. I need to basically make a note here, check public liability insurance and see if there's any flights to Tenerife.
Yeah, that's where criminals go.
I'd like to be 2,000 miles away from that, and I'm not exaggerating. Circular saw is probably not needed. Wouldn't you just get the most satisfaction just using the big old sledgehammer?
Not if you're trying to, take a load of, like a frame of a studio and then reduce it to its smaller size. I think a sledgehammer might be a little, it's the sort of vibe I can sort of get with, but I just think it might be needlessly fragmenty and damaging.
You're too small to lift a sledgehammer.
That's more dangerous. Yeah, you've seen me down the pier. I can get that past the term sexy boy on that big line.
The old fashioned.
Ooh, sexy
the old fashioned strong man. It just eats a lot of eggs. That's all he does.
Exactly.
Have you been down the pier recently? Yourself some candy floss?
Went to salute Mr. Donut.
Very nice.
There's two Mr. Donuts and the one that's on the right hand side of the road I saluted. He's still there looking. I could just steal that one. No one would know. I could just steal that one.
Surely it's chained to something, isn't it?
It'll be screwed into the roof of the... I'd have to climb onto a roof to get to get to Mr. Donut.
I think I speak on behalf of the entire Luke and Peter community when I say please do this.
Please do that.
On a slightly related note, Peter, you left us on tenterhooks last time we chatted because you had bought your dad some biltong that hadn't turned up.
Oh, did I? Birthday. God, that was...
Have you double-checked in with him that it's turned up now?
It did turn up, yeah. It's arrived and I think he likes it. He took a picture of it and give it the old dad's thumbs up. Fathers generally have an obsession with the old thumbs up stuff.
Thumbs up emojis are a real cross into fatherhood that I'm not ready for yet. I never use
Spelsy's
the thumbs up
Spelsy's been there for years.
Oh, he loves it, but I think Spelsy uses it semi-ironically as well.
Yeah. Well, what's like the most kind of like dad thing that you, that when you sort of knew that you were ready to be a dad? Was it like, because mine, I reckon I'm ready to be a dad because I do loud sneezes. Like, yeah, such loud sneezes.
That's a classic. I mean, for me, it was the real satisfaction of tucking my T-shirt into my tracksuit bottoms around the house.
I'm wearing so many tracksuit bottoms at the moment. They're just more in the house. I'm almost exclusively, I'm going to say, wank pants. It's just,
Stop it.
That's the way. Well, I mean, that's what you call them, isn't it? It's just
call them tracksuit bottoms.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm 42. I shouldn't be wearing trackies in the house.
No. Oh, can I just go circle back to Spelzy? He's very, very good on WhatsApp. He's very funny.
Yeah. Are you trying to say he isn't?
No, I'm just saying that some people aren't great on WhatsApp. I think they get the tone wrong. I think they can be too severe. I think they can not really understand the media. Like, WhatsApp's a medium like any other. Mm. I think instinctively Marcus understands the medium and is formal enough when needed, but also, I think, very dryly funny on it.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, he comes across
good with a gif.
Good with a grip. Well. Good with
a
gif.
Let me just drill down to how, in my view, you need to be good. You are good on WhatsApp.
Right.
You need to understand the format, so you need to be semi-formal, really, at most.
Mm.
I don't think anything good comes of doing like serious chats or work things too much, other than the kind of perfunctory stuff on WhatsApp. I think you need to know your way around a good, well-placed emoji.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think you need to know your way around a GIF/GIF.
I think you need to be forgivable as well.
What do you mean?
Well, just when people use incorrect language. Not incorrect language, or kind of incorrect spellings, which is something that, because I don't use the Android phone in the way that it's supposed to, so I just tap as quick as I can, old school style, and it just comes out incredibly incorrect.
I don't mind the grammatical spelling errors on WhatsApp. Listen, to me, it's a semi-formal medium, it's fine. If I'm sending an email out to an external person from a work email address, I want that to be good.
Imagine the external person. I just like the idea of an external person. I know, I like it. I do like the I like
I
the idea
don't want
of
talking
this
to anyone
gray,
else, but most of us do.
This grey external person that you talk to.
How do you rate your own WhatsApp skills?
There's a lot of noise. There's a lot. Every time I look at my phone, I've missed about 50 messages, and it's hard to catch up. I feel like I have to contribute. I always enjoy it though.
Yeah, same. Can I pick a bone with your this specific issue around this with you?
Yeah, okay.
So, you know that Evil Knievel Jumps Instagram account that I always share with you?
Yeah.
So, for those people
just basically every new video you send me it.
Yeah.
Even though I could go on the Instagram and just watch it at source.
It's affectionate. It's an affectionate
delivery
service.
You're like an aggregate. You're like an aggregating XML file that just...
And I'm not getting paid. I'm doing it from out the goodness of my heart.
For Evil and the Knievels.
People listening to this who haven't seen it, it's like a 60-something-year-old man who's obsessed with the 1970s toy of Evil Knievel, who was a daredevil who rode a motorbike. And it's a really well-designed toy because it can actually jump over things, and he's taken it to its, like, obviously, its natural conclusion. And he's basically, to cut a long story short, he uses this 1970s stuntman riding a motorbike toy to jump over, like, ridiculous things. It's really good.
In the garden. In his garden.
He puts some lovely little touches in there as well. Yeah. It's a really nice video service. I would always, every time he publishes a new video, copy the link and send it to Pete directly on WhatsApp, and I think that's the way to do it. What Pete will do is he'll be on Instagram looking at things, and he'll see something that I like, or he thinks I'll like, which is very kind of him, but he'll just put it on a DM on Instagram, and some of the other context and some of the other conversations we have, which could even be happening at the same time, are on WhatsApp. And I think that's unnecessary admin for me. I think you're putting a lot of the weight on me there.
I don't think it is, because I'm on Instagram and I'm just firing that off, and that's quicker. That's
already copy and paste the link.
That's already on this Instagram server. I am Greta Thunberg in this. I don't need to copy and paste and send it on the WhatsApp server. That link is all that data is also already being pulled from Instagram. So environmentally, the way I am operating is sounder than how you're operating.
Yeah, but I think the medium can be the message. I don't enjoy it as much seeing it in Instagram DM, because normally my Instagram DMs are just people I don't know that well.
It's mainly people asking if we want some sort of TikTok reels made from our YouTube videos. I'm like getting one an hour. I don't know whether there's an AI kind of white label product that's out there, but people are just kind of trying to resell it, and they're all very informal, and they all start with, "Hey, I'm not going to waste your time." I know you're busy. I'm busy. It's like, you're a fucking robot, mate. But they're all just like trying to get, hey, I love your content. Don't know what it is. Hey, I loved your, and insert weird AI approximation of what was said on the Embroidery Man podcast 3 weeks ago. Like, it's good. It's good. It's interesting. It's an interesting little hustle, but it's utterly charmless. And I'm glad I get a lot of spam stuff from it.
Yeah, I get marketeers, SEO people, AI stuff. And as you well know, Peter, I'm the last person you want to be saying that to.
I miss the penis, guys. I miss the penis extenders.
Yeah.
I miss all that stuff, really.
If you know where to go, you can still find them. but one of the marketeers
on the long web.
One of the SEO social media type marketeers sent me the other day, and some of the guys were in the office when it arrived, a old-fashioned traditional letter with a bar of dairy milk in it.
Okay, yeah. You eating things that people send you, are you?
Not really, but I just gave it to the team. But it was like, oh, you'll get a lot of this kind of stuff, but here's an example of why I really respect you. I've sent you an old-fashioned letter and I've got you a bar of chocolate. It's like, I don't really want to be doing business with someone who sees the world in that way.
I don't know. I like it. I think it is something different and you do appreciate it. But, I mean, they're making a lot of assumptions in 2024 as to, you know, whether you're a vegan, whether you're this, whether you're that. You know,
I think they've probably seen the photo of me. can I just say, if you genuinely respected this friendship, you would find an Instagram video that you think I'd like. You'd jump in the Toyota Century, you'd drive around to my house and you'd show me it on your phone.
Yeah, yeah. Sarah was listening to something that said... It said basically, if your partner's going to cheat, check out who they're following on Instagram, right? So she, hilariously, when she's ill as well, she'll be listening to this. When she's ill, she still found the time to audit my Instagram. She did find an Instagram profile, quite hilariously, that is listed as like adult entertainment. And I was clicking around. And they basically, it was like an Essex-based... kind of nightclub company that I found their social media so wonderfully depressing. And then what they did, when I started following them, they just had these kind of like chintzy kind of, where I used to play football was also a nightclub. And they had these sort of chintzy kind of like, you know, bottles of fizzy wine with sparklers coming off the top. And there were these like lads in like Range Rovers basically telling everyone to come down to the night. And it was just wonderfully shit. And so I started following it because it made me laugh. And then they've panicked at some point in the last couple of months, deleted all of their profile, started putting like sexy ladies in their thing and saying they're an adult entertainment thing. So I'm just saying that it's not fair that people could do this to you when you're not paying attention.
Can I also add a further addendum to that, which is why you've been telling that story? I've looked at your Instagram account and the first two people I've seen you're following... Grot. Yeah. Are the Angel Boys and Aldi Special Offers.
Correct. All he is. I'm not even following Absolute Radio and never did.
No, fair enough.
The Angel Boys are hanging out with the Jonas Brothers. They are... Remember when like we were saying we should get them for an interview? They're too big for us now. They're too busy.
Yeah, they've moved on. Life comes to you quick, mate. You also changed your Instagram account to Pete Donaldson's. It used to be something else, didn't it?
I had to because... Why did I have to now? I think because of the Threads thing. You know that thing that everyone's using, Threads?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
I can't even remember what Threads is. What is it again? It's the Instagram...
It's Instagram's
chat.
Twitter, isn't it? They had a crack at getting...
I want
in.
That to be good because I fucking hate Elon Musk. Mm. I'd love that to be good. But I'm not going to go to a house party that's shit and there's no one there just because the massive house party I've been in before has got...
Because it's got a chocolate fountain owner. In it. Yeah, yeah. And the other one's got chocolate found with salmonella in it. I would say that I like Twitter more now. A lot of girls just going, what about my bum? Hey, what about my bum?
Let's go and do...
Luke, what about my bum?
Speaking of that, let's go and do some sexy stuff in the break. And then when we come back out the other side, we'll have plenty more to talk about. So don't go anywhere.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
We're back with the Luke and Pete Show. How are you doing? Luke, have you seen... I'm just typing it into Google because I didn't give myself a link, which is just a terrible way
Your admin is just to deal.
Admin's
bad.
Absolutely terrible. Anyway, Brian Eno, you familiar?
Am I familiar with Brian? Of course I am.
Yeah, right? 1995, he releases a diary, right, of what he's been up to, right? And if I give you 100 guesses, you would never guess what he was really into in 1995. Like, over anything else. He was addicted to it.
Just tell me, because I know that the book has got a really weird name, hasn't it? Because I vaguely remember it.
Yeah. Give us three guesses.
Well, Brian Eno's into, so I guess...
Brian Eno's into,
in order
yeah.
to play along with this charade, I guess I should probably guess something like synthesizers, scullets, and something completely random, Thomas the Tank Engine.
Right, okay. It's Photoshop.
Why is that funny?
Because it was 1995 where no one really used Photoshop.
Yeah, but he was obviously well known as being way ahead of his time, isn't he?
True, but yeah, wait till you hear what he does with Photoshop,
okay.
though, right?
Okay.
31st of January. Too long playing with Photoshop. It's a lethal time waster. It's like chronic alcoholism. I should schedule it in the diary and not use it otherwise. 4th of February. Work more on Kevin Kelly and Photoshop. 10th of February, fiddled and Photoshopped until Philip the Builder came in at midday. Enjoyed talking to him and showing him computery things. took Irial to school.
Like
fiddling around with Bliss and Photoshop, right? This is what he gets up to on Photoshop, though, right? I created some novel pornography in Photoshop.
Oh, here we go.
Modifying back views of women to expand their bottoms to cosmic proportions. It's and creating she-males by collage, presumably getting willies and putting them on women. Yeah. Strange that one remains gripped by the same fantasy through life. And then he just goes on to sort of go, right, 27th of January, filling around with Bliss and Photoshop, enlarging bottoms mostly. 28th of January, more Photoshop. 6th of February, back to the studio, Bliss, Photoshop, getting things ready to get to self-storage, good way of offloading. 13th of February, Renata came to clean, but I'd already wrecked the morning by resorting to Photoshop. And he's just... He's just obsessed with Photoshop.
Resorting to Photoshop.
And making big old bums.
That is incredible, isn't it?
Making big old bums.
You know, the best ever, I mentioned this to you, I've definitely told you about this before, but for the benefit of our listeners, the best ever diary entry from anyone famous is, of course, the great Elton John one. Remember that one? 1973. It came out about 5 years ago, I think. 1973.
Got a tram.
Elton John's diary entry for, I don't know what day it was, doesn't really matter. It's just the following. Woke up, watched Grandstand, wrote Candle in the Wind, went to London, bought a Rolls Royce, Ringo Starr came for dinner.
That's not bad,
I mean,
is it?
What a day.
Yeah. 21st of November. Is as good as 21st of November, 1996. My first Photoshop dream. I dreamt I was erasing my past in Photoshop, but it turned out that I was just using the clone tool. So instead of erasing, I was just copying chunks of the past into the future.
Very nice. That is, yeah. It's one of those ones where I can definitely imagine Eno being way into Photoshop ahead of everyone else, almost like a David Bowie, David Byrne type way. But I did not imagine that his big thing would be to just make women's bums as big as possible.
Make big bums, yeah. But again, as the Vogue is nowadays, futurist, clear futurist. Speaking of Photoshop, before we chip off, shall we touch on the astonishing week that you can do?
Oh, Mark, we have to.
It's good stuff, isn't it? I very much enjoy the fantasy that... is it the Duchess of York? What's she? Duchess of York, is it?
No, she's the Duchess of Cornwall, isn't she?
Duchess of Cornwall. And I very much enjoy the idea that she put a credit card into a machine, typed the details in, and signed up for a monthly subscription to the Adobe Creative Cloud universe. No, I don't believe she did. I think it's all bullshit.
what do you think actually has happened, though?
I think... I'm not going to get into the reasons why they felt the need to Photoshop the picture, but somebody was tasked with Photoshopping a picture. They didn't do an amazing job, and then they tried to retcon. They tried to make the reasons why it was done to be more personal to what the Duchess's interests were, and it made it sound like the Duchess was sat there. That the Duke is he the
Stop
Duke?
Stop saying that. Just say Kate Middleton. Stop saying the Duchess. Like you're some kind of fucking Jimmy Savile talking about his mother.
Kate and Will, is it William Harry's? Which one's the one in America?
This is brilliant. We've got a royal update every show because you are just I've never seen you so confused by
William was
do you not know who any of them are?
No, not even the one who's done a pod with us. There are reasons why I wasn't allowed anywhere near that project.
Oh, many reasons.
Stuff like this.
This is
many
one
reasons.
Of them.
Smell mainly. but I would say that. So the Duchess. They say that the Duchess is really in Photoshop.
Stop saying the Duchess. Just say Kate Middleton.
Kate. Yeah. I'm writing it down. Hang on. I'm not saying Middleton because that's confusing. Is that even a name anymore?
Just say,
doesn't she have a new name? Kate and Wills. Right. Kate Wills. What have I got under there? Is that problematic? I've written Xabi Alonso on a piece of paper.
He's not involved.
No idea why. No, he's not involved at all. Or is he? Kate, they said that Kate was a big Photoshopper and then she, now she's in the frame to have Photoshopped this picture. She clearly hasn't. It's clearly, thanks to internet sleuthing, fashionistas looking at the brand of clothing she was wearing and how the clothing is only available in two particular colours, so the jumper's been recoloured. So, and everything just seems to be recoloured from an old photo shoot. That seems to be the working hypothesis. And what I like about it is that they've done a really, really good job in every aspect of it, but that little sleeve just caused...
Yeah,
trouble.
No, so my take on it as a layman in these kind of fields would be as follows. It's like two-pronged. So one is that people don't seem to have a full understanding that images of that nature are photoshopped all the time as a matter of course, basically, right?
Yes, yeah. And then they're pretty much all like that.
And then the other part of it, which hasn't really been mentioned much, is that I believe I'm right in saying that newspapers have a kind of duty of care... you know, regardless of what you think of them. And I think they've also all signed up to an agreement which says they won't publish overly edited images for obvious reasons, right? So in the newspaper, that's obviously fucking important. If you go down that, open that Pandora's box and you know, reporting on war zones and all the images are Photoshopped and stuff, you're basically not reporting the news anymore. So they have to draw the line somewhere. And that's part of the reason it was withdrawn.
Yeah.
And the final thing I would say is, presumably
any picture that they put out, if it wasn't Photoshop, whatever photo, which was clearly not taken on the day that it was supposed to have taken place they will have still run it because it's like, well, that's what the palace has given us. Yeah, we don't have any access to these people.
That, they wouldn't have had to have run it. That brings me on to my final thing.
This is
thing.
What the palace has given us, yeah.
Yeah, my final thing, though, is the whole genesis of this is actually quite sad and I think a little bit depressing and a bit of a sad indictment of modern society, which is just that... she's clearly had some kind of major surgery. People don't know what it is. I'm not going to speculate because it's not fair. but she's had some kind of major surgery and therefore she's not done any public engagements for ages, which is basically just meant, because of the way society is, particularly in the tabloid aspect of it, that people are just talking about it over and over again. And they felt the need, despite the fact that she, you know, I know she's a member of the royal family, she's an incredibly privileged position, we all know that. But she is a mother, it's like three children and a human being. And some of the lessons that have happened in the past should have been learned, particularly around things with Princess Diana and all that kind of thing. They felt it necessary to fill a perceived vacuum which they shouldn't have needed to fill, because ultimately, if we are at some kind of decent society, you would understand that actually, if it's major surgery that people think it is, it takes months and months to recover. So of course she's not doing stuff. Of course you're not seeing her. And all they're greeted by for their troubles is a load of awful kind of rumours and terribly speculative, pretty basement stuff, actually, about what's happened to her. And the response has been botched, fine. But the reason the response had to happen in the first place is because I thought people's behaviour around their family has been appalling, in my view.
And you know, newspapers are running clear SEO-hitting kind of articles about people who are surrounding that part of the family. You know, the rumoured relationships here and there. People are just taking these kind of people and writing pieces about them, basically.
Definitely.
Who is this person? So that when people are, you know, looking at like these kind of rumours and all these kind of, you know, that TikTok detective nonsense twaddle, they're finding these kind of SEO'd articles and, you know, that they're the authority on
so,
everything.
So, I think it's rooted in the tradition of the royal family under the Queen, which was that, you know, back in the days before social media, new media and the world we live in now, the old never complain, never explain mantra worked, because the news cycle was the news cycle, right? People would move on. You know, it would be very rare that a scandal so big would happen that would never pass over. And now you just can't do that because there's so much content to fill and so much time to be spent ruminating on these things. And everyone's got what happens now is commentators on social affairs, or whether it be sport or whatever, I was talking about this a bit last week with Marcus on the Ramble, like, people feel like when they're in this game, they have to have a take. So even if they've not got one, it's almost like the idea of having a take comes before the actual opinion. So half of these opinions, if not more, aren't even genuine anyway. They just feel like they've got to say something because they've been asked to be a talking head on a TV show, or they've got a Twitter account. So it just runs away with it. And I thought it was, you know, it's quite funny, I suppose, on the face of it, objectively speaking.
We started laughing at it. Laughing at the whole Photoshop thing, the idea that she sits down with an Apple Mac.
Well, that is funny.
There's a bit of editing. That is funny.
But why not?
I'll laugh at that bit.
Brian Eno's doing it. Maybe she's making people's bums bigger.
Maybe she's made her bum bigger and it's gone too big and it's too big to see anyone.
Oh, please run that fucking thoughtful commentary with a bit of that at the end. Let's get out of here and come back on Thursday, shall we?
All right, then. What does Marcus say when we do an edit on the Football Ramble? Ease up and fly again or something?
Ease up and come again.
Ease up and come again.
He also says, sorry for the bollocks, everyone. Doesn't he? When he makes a mistake. Sorry for the bollocks, everyone.
Sorry for the bollocks,
Ease up and come again.
All right. We'll be back on Thursday. If you've got a battery in a piece of consumer electronica, let us know what it is. Take a picture of it. And you could be in the battery daddy come, I don't know, Monday. I don't know how long it takes to get the battery into the battery
very,
daddy.
Very, very sophisticated vetting process.
Very, very
sophisticated. It's like trying to get a passport.
Indeed, true. We'll be back soon. Have a lovely couple of days and we'll see you on Thursday. Ta-ta.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.